In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we started the whole experience of salvation history with Abram. Abram begins salvation history. But today we're going to see the two parts of Abram, the faithful Abram, which pleased God, and then the deceiving Abram, and that did not please God. We're going to look at the 12th chapter. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." That's a very amazing thing. He doesn't tell Abram where the land is. He says he's going to show him the land. And as a matter of fact, it was 320 miles down the road. It is the land of Israel. "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you." So we bless the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abraham went as the Lord had spoken unto him. This is so beautiful. He didn't say, "I'm doing so well in my land." He said, "I am going." Abraham went. And the Father so delighted in Abraham's faith that he just went 320 miles down the road. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He was an old man. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, Israel, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. We see that the Canaanites occupied Israel at this time. But God will do what he needs to do so that God's people will be able to settle in this land. And we know who brings the people into the land. It wasn't Moses. "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto Abram, unto your seed will I give this land, and there build me an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So he promises to give this land to Abram and to his seed. This land is the land of Israel. When God makes a promise, he crosses every T and dots every I, and he fulfills the promise. "This land I will give unto you and unto your seed." And he removed from thence unto the mountain of the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Harai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. In other words, to make this a double experience of God and man, Abram builds an altar unto God that he is going to receive this land for his people. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, a famine in the land of Canaan, a famine in the land of Israel. And Abram went down into Egypt to live there, for the famine was very great in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near the enter into Egypt, he said unto his wife Sarai, "Behold, now I know that you are a fair woman." Now we're going to see the weakness of Abraham. "You are a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see you, and they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save you alive. Say, I pray thee, that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. In other words, Abram is going to deceive the Egyptians. You can take my wife and take her to bed, but she's not my wife, she's my sister. Abram lied. This is a lie. But the man of faith left and went 320 miles down the road, and God honored that. Let's see what God's going to do with this lie. And it came to pass that when Abram had come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman and saw that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Why? To bring her into the bed. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh. The Lord would not let Sarai sleep with Pharaoh. He plagued Pharaoh and his house with the great plagues because Sarai was Abram's wife. You see, God moved. Let me tell you, God protects us. We do not have to protect ourselves. God protects us. If someone wants to destroy me, they have to go through the hands of the Lord. If someone wants to destroy you, they have to go through the hands of the Lord. The Lord protects His own. He has promised that. Not only did He promise to give this land to Israel and to the descendants of Abram, but He promises to defend us. I do not have to defend the Lord. He defends me. That's a very important thing. The Lord is our defense. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you have done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?" Here's the pagan telling the believer that, you know, why did you do this to me? Why did you lie to me? We've got plagues as a result of wanting to sleep with Sarai. Why didst you tell me she is your sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold your wife, take her and go your way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. This is amazing. You know, in the best of us, there's also darkness. And in the dark ones, there's also light. Abraham had this darkness. He was afraid that Pharaoh was going to kill him, so he gave his wife to Pharaoh. But God saw it, that Pharaoh would not sleep with Sarai, and God placed plagues upon Pharaoh's home and upon Pharaoh's possessions. Chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Remember, Lot's his nephew, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Abram prospered, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Yes, he called on the name of the Lord, and God blessed Abram. God blessed Abram with rich cattle and silver and gold. God blesses us when we are obedient. It was a forgiving thing that God had to forgive Abram for what he did to his wife, but God prospers his people. He wants his people to prosper. Prosper in the spirit. Prosper in the goods of this world. Just think about it. We might not be the richest people in the world, but we've got everything we need. even the poor of the poor in the United States, they have colored televisions, air conditioners, and they also have, it's not coming to me, but it'll come to me later. And Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. In other words, the land of Canaan was not able to bear both Abram and Lot. So what does Abram do? So that they could dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. I don't want to have fights with us. We're going to divide the land, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are relatives, we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will take the right hand. If you depart to the right hand, then I will take the left. In other words, you, Lot, take the land that you want. I do not want there to be strife between me and you, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. So take the land that you think that you want. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, that there you come unto Zoar. So Lot took the beautiful land that was watered by seven streams, seven rivers, yes, seven streams. And Lot took it because he said, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. I have water, I have crops, I have dates, I have figs, I have oranges, everything growing here. But down the road a piece is you're going to have like Death Valley because it's near Sodom and Gomorrah. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other, even as Abraham had said. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. They were exceedingly sinners. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see to thee will I give it, and to your seed forever. I'm going to give you the land of Israel. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan for your children and for the children of your children. We see Joshua comes into the land and takes the land after Moses. For all the land which you see to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. In other words, the land, the Holy Land, is given to Abraham and his descendants forever. It is God's gift to them. And it's God's gift because Abram was faithful. He went and did as the Lord told him to do. Again, not knowing where he was going. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, that means plentiful. I will make your children like the dust of the earth, plentiful, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. So the Lord tells him to walk through the land that's his land and that he's going to give to his descendants. I want you to walk up and down into this land because this land is your land, because I have promised to give it to you and to your descendants. And I will make your descendants as many as the dust of the earth. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is at Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. We always see Abraham sacrificing unto the Lord. We're going to verse chapter 14, verse 13. And there came one who had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anar. They were confederates with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So there was a battle, and Abram won at this battle. Now let's look at the next verse. This is very, very key for the New Testament. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's deal, and Melchizedek, listen to this, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. If he's the priest of the Most High God and he brings forth bread and wine, what is he going to do with the bread and wine? He's going to sacrifice it. The priest sacrifices bread and wine. Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. What does he do on the night before he dies? He sacrifices bread and wine, and it becomes his body and his blood. Listen, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he himself blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Abram gives Melchizedek 10% of all that he has. Who is this Melchizedek? He is a person that tells us in the book of Hebrews who has no beginning, no end. He is no parents. He is the figure of Christ. He is the figure of Christ. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from you a thread, even a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me." Chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." It's amazing that God is the shield of his people, and he is the great reward of his people. Do you know that today? That God is your shield. He is your protector. Do you know that today? That he is your great reward. Do you know that today? That all the goods in the world make no sense if God is not your reward. He is your reward. He is the reward of those who live by faith and not by sight. Are you living by faith today, as Abraham did in the 12th chapter? Are you living by faith today, or are you living by sight? Are you one of those control freaks that wants to tell God exactly what he is going to do, rather than allow God to do what he wants to do? So the Lord is our exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" At this point, God promised Abram that he would give him children, and that his children would outnumber the dust of the earth. But what does Abram have? The only thing he has is a steward of his house, Eliezer of Damascus, and they have no children, and he's over 75 years old. And Abram said, "Behold, to me you have given no seed." In other words, you've given me no children. "And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, this shall not be your heir." In other words, Eliezer and his children. "But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. You shall conceive with Sarai, and you shall bear a son, and that son will bear children, and their children will bear children, and I am giving that land that you see now to them." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look toward heaven and tell me of the stars, if thou art able to number them." So God gives Abram a real experience. He says, "Look, count the stars. Count the stars. See if you have the ability to count the stars. And as many as the stars of the heaven and the dust of the earth shall be your children, shall be your heritage." And he brought him forth abroad and looked toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou art able to count them. And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it as righteousness. Again, he believed in the Lord and counted it as righteousness. Do we live by faith, or do we live by sight? Are we walking by faith, or are we walking by sight? It's very important to please God is that we walk by faith and not by sight, and we put our hand in his hand, and we allow him to take us where we need to go. That is so important. You might say, "I don't trust him." Well, I'm going to tell you, he gave his son for us, and he's not an ogre. He wants the best for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Rely not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart if you delight in him. Remember, he is our reward. The Lord is our reward. Everything else doesn't count. You know, if the Lord gave me $5 million, it doesn't count. My reward is not $5 million. My reward is the Lord. The Lord is my reward. The Lord is your reward. Know that today. Know that today, that God has given you himself as a reward, and he wants you to walk not by sight, but by faith. He doesn't want you to control things. See, Abram did not control things at first. He allowed God to take him to the Holy Land. He allowed God to take him to Israel. He allowed God to take him 320 miles down the road a piece. And this is what you call faith. Faith does what God says. If God says something, "I want you to do this," then you do it. I told you the story about the man that the Lord came to, and he said, "I want you to have a Sunday school in Times Square." And this man had a very famous ministry, and he said, "I'm going to drop everything, and I'm going to do the Sunday school in Times Square." And the Lord said, "I've asked two people before you, and they wouldn't do it. They said that their ministry was too big, and they didn't want to do what I asked them to do." And the man said, "I will drop everything, and I will do exactly what you want me to do." As a matter of fact, today, that Sunday school is the largest Sunday school in the United States of America, because this man walked by faith, lived by faith, and God gave him the increase. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today, that God gives us the increase when we walk by faith, when we live by faith? Do you believe that today? That is real. That is as real as I sit here proclaiming the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in the one God who acts, A-C-T-S, and who gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Are you coming to the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary between July 19th and the 25th? And if you'd like to see what it's about, www.daysofglory.org/register. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.